Oh, hey, we're recording stuff. So, hi.
What's up?
How are you? Good. We are today talking with Eric from Rock Solid. Today we've got Missy Christensen here as the co-host.
Yes, hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Rock Solid is an awesome organization based in Chesapeake.
Yes, started in Chesapeake.
Started in Chesapeake, but serves so much further than Chesapeake.
All over the United States now.
Yeah, which is super cool.
So cool.
That has multiple ways that it helps families affected by pediatric cancer. Eric, I'm going to kind of let you explain it better than me.
Sure. You're pretty good at it, too, though.
Yes. I know a thing or two. But... why don't you start off and tell us why you started Rock Solid, and then we'll build on that.
So Rock Solid Foundation is a nonprofit. We build hope for kids fighting cancer. The reason we do so is because I hold pediatric cancer very close to my heart. When I was 3 years old, I was diagnosed with hepatoblastoma, which is a form of liver cancer. They gave my parents about a 10% survival rate that I would even be sitting here talking to you guys today. And with that, the doctors ended up taking out close to 3/4 of my liver. Your liver does grow back, which, side note, fun note, is that my parents never told me that. And as I was growing up, especially in the adolescent years, they're like, don't touch that beer because you can't drink, you have 3/4 of a liver. So my dad took me out for a beer one time. I'm like, I can't have a beer. He's like, yes, you can. Your liver does grow back. That's a funny side note, and I love telling that story. I usually have like a bourbon in my hand. But my liver grew back. I do have a full functioning liver, and during that time with them, after they took the liver out, I went through chemotherapy at CHKD, which is a local children's hospital right here in Norfolk, and ended up going through a couple years of chemotherapy and treatment, and then I was put into remission at the age of 5. And so if you fast forward with me having pediatric cancer, you would think that would be enough to kind of fuel to give back to that community. This is where the story gets a little weird. I was second child, 3 years old when I was diagnosed. Then my dad's sister, second child, 3 years old, was diagnosed with leukemia. Her name is Shannon. She fought the battle. And then from there, she got put into remission at the age of 5. Then my dad's brother, second child, 3 years old, got diagnosed with an inoperable brain tumor, and we ended up losing Nicole. So there was 3 of us, and now there was 2 of us. And then fast forward a little bit more, Shannon, I was on my way home from college, freshman year of college, and my mom called me and told me that Shannon had fallen out of remission with a vengeance, and we lost Shannon at the age of 17. So once we lost Shannon, I remember the day we laid her to rest. I'm like, holy crap, it's going to come back and get me. I'm going to work hard, party hard, and play hard. And that's what I did. Started a construction company, started a lawn care company, sold that. And then I played probably harder than anything. And I partied really hard. Lost everything in 2008. I was in construction. Went upside down, moved to Costa Rica. And while I was there surfing and traveling, I wrote down a word hope on a piece of paper. And from there, I was able to come back, and then we threw a fundraiser for CHKD, and I told my story for the first time. And so when Shannon passed away, I threw away cancer. I didn't want to talk about it because I was scared to death it was going to come back and get me. So I told my story for the first time and at CHKD, and then from there, the mom and dad said that I give them and themselves hope that their child will beat cancer one day. And so I kind of knew what this one and only life was about for me. I took 2 tragedies in my life, cancer and construction, married them together, and now you have Rock Solid Foundation, which we build hope for kids. 2 ways we do it is through our PlaySet program. I truly believe that play does defeat cancer. Now, I'm not saying cure it, but if we can allow these kids and these families to escape the reality of cancer just for a split second, when they come around the corner and when they see the playset for the first time, guess what they're not thinking about? Cancer. Yeah. So we win. Every single time we put a playset on the ground. And then the other component that we have is our Rock Solid Ready Bags, to where we give these bags to hospitals all over the United States on some of the worst time of a parent's life when their child's diagnosed with cancer. The bag comes in right when they hear the worst news. And that bag has toiletries, his and her toiletries, tablets, blankets, really necessities for the families to survive for 72 hours at the hospital. And that's what hope looks like when it's not for what you'd hope for at all. It's just a way for us just to be there at the first end and to just tell them that we love them.
So
that was really quick.
It was very impressive, though.
Trying to like.
I liked it.
Straight to it.
I liked it, though.
Not talking in bubbles. Sorry, no fidgeting.
Tell the story, because I know it, and so I, you know, but tell the story about how you started with the Ready Bags. I've heard you tell it, and I think it's super impactful about why you started the Ready Bag program, because that wasn't initially part of it.
Right. So the Ready Bag program was the second form of programs that we started doing with the foundation. We were in our world headquarters, which was my parents' garage. A lot of great things were started in garages. And my mom had what we called survivor guilt, or what is called survivor guilt. My aunts and uncles lost their kids. Even to this day, as successful or however far and wide that Rock Solid goes, we still don't talk about cancer on Thanksgiving and Christmas, because my mom has me, but my aunts and uncles don't have their kids. So my mom threw away cancer, and so I asked her, I just felt in my heart, I'm like, we're missing something. We're truly, truly missing something. And I asked her, I was like, hey, Mom, what's the one thing you remember on the day that I was diagnosed? And she reluctant, she shook her head, no, I'm not, like, kind of pushed me away. A couple weeks later, she came and kind of tapped her finger, which I'm not going to do now, but she tapped her fingers on the desk, and she said, I remember your dad had to leave me on the worst day of my life to go pack an overnight bag, and he forgot half of the stuff that I needed because his world was flipped upside down, meaning left. Your dad had to leave me on the worst day when they just found out that I had cancer. My dad had to leave her, and he didn't bring back half the stuff. It was during the 80s, so my mom had big hair, like a bunch of hairspray and stuff. No, we do not put hairspray in the Ready Bag. It can combust, so we keep it safe.
No.
But in that moment, like, so for me, kind of for the listeners and for you guys, I believe if I can beat cancer, I can do anything in this world. I really do. As clear as I'm looking at you guys, there's nothing that I can't do. And so when my mom told me that, I was like, why don't we eradicate that moment from the face of this earth? She's like, what are you talking about? I'm like, why don't we just pack the bags for the families? And then that's what my family has always supported. Like, I'm a dreamer. And my mom, like, was like, okay. Like, what are you, like, I don't know what that means. But that's really, so if you understand the root of something, you identify, like, you can understand the fruit to what it produces. And those bags, my mom picked out the first, I think there was about 15 items inside that bag. Roll of quarters for the vending machine, hairbrush, hair ties, and blankets. She picked out the first initial bags. We launched the bags 3 years, so it's 2012. The first year we did about 30. Second, third, fourth year, we probably did about 60. And the last 3 years, we have grown that program leaps and bounds from about 60 a year to now this year. We'll do 2,000 Ready Bags to families all over the United States. We partner with the children's hospitals. We launch the bags. We send them from our warehouses. We have two, one in California, one in Virginia. And then we ship the bags directly to the hospital. The hospital hands out the bags. We do not give them the bags to the families, but the hospitals are trained on how to deliver the bags for us. So it's a tool also for the hospital.
Yeah. I definitely am a cancer survivor, and my mom was one heck of a fighter too. So I definitely remember the moment that my mom was diagnosed, and much after that is a blur, but having something like that, knowing that I would be living in the hospital, is really amazing. That's such a cool thing. And for your dad, I know his brain was probably like, I don't know what I'm supposed to get.
He actually got lost going home.
I bet.
From the hospital. And, I mean, he's lived in this area his whole life.
Yeah.
He just got lost because his brain is discombobulated.
I remember my sister calling from the hospital. My mom's story was just a crazy one. Inoperable brain tumor. So it hit me when you said your cousin. And I don't know how I got to the hospital. No recollection. So I can only imagine that your dad getting lost is just a natural thing.
I think in that moment, darkness has to flee from light,
yeah.
Right? So it has to. how do you bring light to such a horrible situation? Oh, mm-hmm. And those bags, I think they don't blast out the hard stuff that you and your family went right. through, or what the families go through, but it just shows up at the worst time. I've had some moms that say they didn't look in the bag for 2 years, because that bag is designed for every single child. It's not for a 2-year-old or a 5-year-old, right. 15-year-old or 21-year-old. And the mom knew what the bag represented before. So when the doctor walked in, she had seen the bag on like an ad, and then she saw the blue bag, and she told the doctor to get that bag out. She's like, take the bag, which is fine, right?
So, right.
But she checked that bag 2 years later and then wrote me an amazing like testimonial mm-hmm. letter of what it meant to her, because she lost her child as well.
Oh, yeah.
So that bag it's designed for leukemia all the way to inoperable brain tumor. Mm-hmm. And I really do believe it's the Navy SEAL of what we do. Mm-hmm. It gets in a pretty dark situation, and then it shines just a little bit of light, and it just tells the families that we love them. That's yeah. it. They don't have to register the bag. They don't pay for the bag. There's no catch. It's just I don't think any human should ever have to hear those words. You should never have to hear the words that your mom
had yeah.
cancer.
Yeah.
It's I hate it. And that's my only competition in this entire world. No nonprofit, no for-profit. My only competition is cancer. And so there's kids every 2 hours getting diagnosed, or every hour, two kids an hour get diagnosed with cancer, and we're not there. So that's what gets me up. That's what keeps me up at night, but that's also what gets me up in the morning.
For sure.
It's crazy, because I think about, so I've been fortunate enough to work with you guys for a long time, and I've met a lot of families who've received those ready bags or received the playsets or done all those things. One of the things that I really love about the ready bags for a lot of the families is it becomes like their go bag, right? Like right. they pick it up. Mm-hmm. It's like the bag by the door if their kid has a temperature. Like they grab it and go to the hospital. Like it's their like reminder that, hey, like we're all going.
Right.
And I think that's really special too, because not only is it about like that initial moment, but it goes so much further. So before we started the podcast, I told a story about how, you know, I brought my daughter to a playset build the other day. And one of the kids who received a ready bag and playset was there. And Piper played with her the whole time. Mm. And, like, they spread mulch and did stuff to do whatever. And then when we left, I told her how I met her for the first time. And she was like, oh, she had cancer? And I was like, yeah. And she was like, yeah, I want to, like, help more kids with cancer. So it's, like, really cool. Beyond just, like, the impact that it has on the families, you see the impact that it has on every single person in the community.
Right.
You know, I'm lucky Piper has not been affected by cancer and doesn't really know anybody that has. She's only 8, so that makes sense. But it's interesting to see, like, how an 8-year-old can look at that and be like, I don't want that for anyone.
Right.
Right.
That's the power of community, too.
Yeah. And that's and that's what it's about. So knowing you...
That's scary.
That's not. It's awesome. What is your version? Like, Rock Solid is a big name. You guys do a lot of stuff. You go all over the country. You have sponsors from all over the country that, like, help build in California and places like that. Do you think you're successful?
Do I think I'm successful? I think I'm fortunate. I think success, so I would put, I'm probably one of the richest men, how do you ever mm-hmm. say it? One of the richest men that you'll ever meet. Now, how I used to judge success in my construction time and just owning, I mean, I'm a serial entrepreneur. I was that kid carrying a backpack in third grade selling blow pops, right? I'd mm-hmm. go to BJ's or Sam's Club and mark it up. Mm-hmm. How I used to measure success is I chased everything that the world said I should have in construction. And where I lost everything in 2008, I had chased everything the world I said I should have, but when I lost it, the world was nowhere to be found. And so in that moment, no, I didn't feel successful. But now, I have a gorgeous, super hot wife that thinks I'm pretty. I have 2 beautiful kids. They always told me, they, meaning with the treatment that I received when I was younger, that I would never have kids. I have 2 healthy, beautiful kids, Braxton and Cameron, and I get to show up every single day relentlessly loving and pursuing the pediatric cancer community. Not recklessly. There's a difference, relentless and reckless.
Right.
Relentlessly pursuing it. And I would tell you, not by bank account standards, but I'm living for success and significance at the same time. Most people live for success, and then at the tail end of their life, they want to live for significance. I get to sit with multimillionaires, right, all over the United States, very, very successful people. And at towards the end of their careers, they're like, oh, I've dedicated everything to this. How do you live for significance? And so I believe that people can live for success and significance at the same time. And that's why I would say I'm one of the wealthiest men that you guys will ever meet in my definition of what success is.
That makes me happy because I think a lot of people look at it as a monetary, like...
For sure.
Like, hey, if I, you know, make seven figures and I do all these things and I live, you know... But I think the core, especially with a lot of people that we've talked to, has been, you know, it's about living my life and it's about living for my purpose and it's about if I can do that, then success comes from, like we were talking about earlier, like going to see my kids at their football games and going to do whatever while still living whatever I have deemed that purpose to be.
Right.
I think that's a big part of it. That's a big, big part of it that I think goes missed. Tell me a little bit about...
I'm not a poverty gospel type of guy, though, right? So, like, I believe that money, you have no money, no mission. I want to be able to, like, pay for my daughter to go to dance or, like, you know what I mean? So, yes, you have to have money. And that's not, I hope, don't misinterpret that either. Like, I think you can do both.
Right.
And it's the fact of every day, like, I know this sounds cliche, but I don't go to work. I go to war every single day. Because I truly believe in what we're doing, and it does not, now, it's a burden. There's a difference, right? So, like, I feel the burden, and when I walk through our warehouses and I see the bags stacked up on the shelf, like, I sometimes have to avoid the bags just because I feel it. My grandfather would always tell me, he's like, you would rather follow someone that has a burden, not just prepared. And so you can prep, you can have all the likes, you can have the money, you can have everything. But I think for me and what I do, the burden is huge. And I think that's the thing, that's that purpose. Burden and purpose can be the same thing. And I think if you can find that, I truly believe that you can, like, use your pain to fuel your purpose.
Right. Well, I think that to me is success, right? Like, success is saying, like, I've got this purpose in my life. I'm going to do something with it. I'm going to make something of my life with it. Like you said, I'm going to send my kids to ballet or whatever it may be.
Right.
But I'm also going to do this thing that I am inherently called to do. Like, I know that, like, this is why I'm here. One of the things that I have always enjoyed about you and sitting in on calls with you and hearing you talk is you always have the next big idea.
Yeah. I should get in trouble for daydreaming in school. Now I get paid to do it. So I do. I'm an idea guy.
Yeah.
It took me a long time to even be okay with people saying I'm a dreamer, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I would sometimes look at it as an insult. But I think it's really, like, it's a powerful, positive thing.
It really is.
It really is. It really is, yeah. You have to have people like you. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, you really do. I'm one of those people. I mean, I'm always like...
You are.
What's next? How can we give... For me, it's always giving back to the community that I feel raised me. Mm. You know, like, I always say, like, my why is heart, and I want to give back to the community that raised me. Like, literally where we're sitting is where I grew up, and it's really important to me, so I'm continually giving back, and I'm trying to teach my kids to live with gratitude and to do the same thing, because where are you if you don't have those things,
right?
Truthfully. But I went to dinner with our oldest last night. He's almost 17, and my husband and I, he was like, I want to do this, but I'm just not sure if I can. And my husband and I are like, we're never going to stop you from dreaming. Like,
right.
We want you to dream, and we're going to help you get there. So I think you need to be that way, and we need to help our children think that way, too. And so important. We need people like you.
It's a true statement.
It's so true, yeah.
I scare a lot of people, so I'm starting to like tame my ideas. So you got to know your audience, right?
That's
so,
a true statement. Yeah.
So
that's true.
Have, so like we have just brought on like a chief operating officer for Rock Solid, and like that guy is awesome, and he's helping like. He's like, give me all your ideas. But if you have a team, right, that is relentlessly working, and then you come in, they call it a swoop and poop. So big ideas, like right? That. You come in, you swoop, you're like, hey, Ashley specifically, our director of marketing and communications, I'll come in, I'll say, hey, we want to do this, da-da-da-da, and then I'm out the door. And she's already got this huge load of doing amazing work. So I think, yes, dreaming is great. I journal. I don't have it with me right now, but you never see me without a journal. If you're on our staff or if you're on our team, you have to have a journal with you and capture the ideas. So mm-hmm. I'm an idea guy. I have 999 ideas a day, and only one of them is good. So yeah. I'm starting to realize my track record.
Well, that's my favorite. Ashley will call me and be like, hey, Eric has an idea. I'm like, I'm ready. Yeah, like, I'm ready.
Hold your breath.
Uh-huh. I'm ready.
I like to do things that have never been done, especially in the nonprofit world. It's a so not stale. In the nonprofit world, it's an old business. It is, and I believe that I'm called to like be the Uber of the nonprofit world mm-hmm. to disturb the market, like to show people, hey, you can like no money, no mission, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you have to push the envelope for whatever community you're called to do. It's almost disrespectful if you don't. Like, if you have that burden and you don't try things that have never been done, don't do the same thing over and over again. I look at it as almost like, for me, it's disrespectful that there's a kid out there because I'm scared because of what someone else will think not to try something. Mm-hmm. Now, I can't be illegal or like...
Right, right.
What about like on the cusp?
Yeah, that's yes. Yeah. I'm jumping on that one. I'm like, ready, set, go. Here we go.
That's
sorry,
awesome.
I digress.
I like it though.
I charge hard.
How do you think, like, when you look at the last, I don't know, what, 12 years?
12 years.
When you look at the last 12 years, did you think you would be where you are today? Like, could you have foreseen what Rock Solid was going to turn into?
I get asked that question a lot. So I knew that I was called to love and serve every child fighting pediatric cancer. And I would die trying. So I knew that much. I had no idea that we would be able to create like a model to where it would be able to grow as fast. But for us, it's one family at a time, and it has to be. It's one conversation at a time.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be that way, because if you can focus on the one, treat the one as if you want to treat the many, then you'll get to the many. But if you don't focus on the one, you'll never get to the many. So yes and no. I got a frog in my throat, people. I'm sorry.
That's all right. It's
but so I think it. I think that no. I always knew that I would be successful in some sense, that I was good at construction. I was. I just... through just different ups and downs, and timing I think is very important for anybody. When we first tried to launch Rock Solid, I just failed miserably in the construction world. I was upside down, I lost properties, I lost trucks. My girlfriend left me, which was my fiance, but I did get her back. She was that super hot wife that I was talking about. And then with that I think I was extremely focused on just trying to make myself better. And then I forgot where I was going with that, but it was good.
It was good. Well, so, I mean, the point, though, is, you know, we can all think, like, what 10 years in the future looks like, right? Or 12 years or whatever. But I don't think any of us have, like, kind of like we talked about before this all started, we don't have, like, the perfect formula. Like, you wouldn't have known 3 years in you were going to ask your mom and that was going to be your answer. Right. Like, you couldn't, like, but if you weren't an idea person, you might not have even thought to ask the question.
Right. The three things that are still in play, because if you're running any type of business, for-profit, non-profit, business with a mission, whatever it is that you're doing, three things that are common that are still true to this day when I first started to where we are now, it's not the people, because the people change.
Mm-hmm.
It's me. Well, it is. Two of them are people. It's me, my wife, and cancer. Like, those are the three definites. And I ask this a lot anytime I get to sit. I do some coaching and stuff with other leaders. Is like, you got to know who you are, where you're going, and what do you believe. before. You have to know that as an individual. And if you don't know that, you'll never be answered. So who am I, right? If you don't have the I, you'll never get to the we to lead an organization. And I think that I know who I am. I know where I'm going. And I know what I believe. So then, therefore, that helps Rock Solid Foundation know where we are going, know what we believe, right? So I think it's a combination of things. I love the power of community. And that's common all throughout. You just, people want to do good. They just have to, it's got to be simple. It's got to be easy for people to give back, to do good. Even business, I think, should be simple. But a lot of people make a lot of money making it extremely complex.
Very complicated.
Mm-hmm. You're like overthinking.
Yeah. Overthinking. So, I mean,
I'm the queen overthinker. That's true. She pointed
really?
Right at me.
See, yeah. I need to think more.
No.
Misty, no. I think you're overthinking.
Yeah, I'll send her like captions for like my posts for me, and I'll be like, "Hey, can I say this?" And she's like, "Just say it."
One thing that has helped me to with the overthinkers of the world is I've always been quick for people. Like, I want people to understand, right? I want them to understand where I'm coming from. Now, instead of being understood, I'm just trying to understand where you're coming from. And so instead of, I think it's understood to understand that. I really want to listen, and I have realized the last 3 years of my life, the better that I can listen and keep my mouth shut, which is hard on a podcast, right? Because you've asked me my opinion. The better I can listen, and I want to love and serve my team. I want to love and serve my wife. I want to love and serve my board of directors. The better that I can love and serve them, I become less, they become more. The organization grows. Now, founder syndrome, right? I'm guilty of it. I had the founder syndrome, still have it. I wrestle with it. And the founder syndrome is, you can look at our financial charts and our growth charts, and when it becomes all about me, you start to see a stagnation in the organization. But when it's about other people in your business, your clients, knowing who your customers are, that's when everything skyrockets. At least it is for us.
That makes sense. That makes perfect sense. So, one of the things you said is you have to know where you're going. Where are you going? What you
Global.
Doing?
Global. They usually don't let me say that, but no one's here. My team, my marketing communication team is not. I'm waiting for Ashley to come through the door.
I tried to get her to do it with you, and she was like, no, it can just be Eric. That's fine.
Oh, that sounds just like Ashley. Can you do that one more time for me? I need to record it. Oh, it is being recorded.
It is being recorded. Hey.
Where are we going? Every single child. So in the United States, there's 16,000 kids that get diagnosed a year, depending on what study you look at. And I truly believe, as I'm looking at you guys, that Rock Solid Foundation will love and serve every single child. We're at about, 12.4% on that. The only reason our operations officer is a percentage guy. Never would have known that 2 days ago. But
I like a percentage.
We're at 12.4% of 16,000. And so that's something, I believe everything has to have a number. Numbers matter. Why? Because every number for us has a name attached to it. 16,000, there's a family there that needs and deserves what Rock Solid Foundation has. So national, we're already national technically. I used to shy away from national because people, especially in the charity world, they love to give local. But at Rock Solid, we're hyper local. We partner with local children's hospitals. We build for local kids, and we inspire local communities to rally around that family to build the playset. Rock Solid's the conduit. On any job site, the conduit, it holds the power. So we stem up where there's a need, and we stem up where someone wants to give back, and we just connect. We're the power source. And I got a lot of cool things in my brain. I just don't know which ones I'm allowed to talk to. That's why I really wish Ashley was here.
I know.
But every single child, and once we're able to love and serve every child in the United States, then we'll go global.
Is that kind of through chapters in different areas, or how do you kind of?
How do you scale it?
Yeah, how do you scale it?
So I think every organization, so you start, you sustain, and then you scale. Growth is different than scale.
Mm-hmm.
We call it, so we launched everything with COVID, threw us upside down.
Been fun, right?
It has been amazing. I wouldn't change it. So hear me when I'm saying, I'm not saying I wouldn't change people getting sick and dying.
Right.
That's not what I'm talking about. But it's made me a better dad. It's made me a better leader. I was traveling all over the United States, speaking, doing builds, and it really gave me a year to refocus on who I truly was. But how you scale something is that you have to take things away and make it simple. Like, I believe the enemy of simplicity is complexity, right? So you have to make it simple. I didn't know anybody named Chuck. So I'm like, it's got to be so easy that Chuck could do it. I drew a photo of him in my office. And building play sets is complicated.
Yeah, y'all have whole giant manuals. And there's a system.
It is a system. The first one I ever built, I swore that I would never build another one. It was for my buddy. This was before Rock Solid. I can frame houses. I can pour concrete. And then my buddy asked me when I came back from Costa Rica, he's like, hey, put this play set together. My wife's about to mutiny. My kids are about to mutiny. And I did it, but the last anchor that I put down, I was cussing. It was hot. My dad was with me for free labor, and I swore that I would never build another one. This little girl busts out the door, hands me a check, hugs me, and says, thank you for letting me play. And I look at my dad, like tears in my eyes. I was like, I think I'm supposed to build play sets for kids fighting cancer. And he's like, come on,
he's like,
man.
Here we go.
Go get a normal job. But how you scale it is if you have to make it simple. And it has to be simple to where people can understand it, and it has to be simple to where you can invite them in, because I think this is story brand. The stories that get repeated are the ones that people become a part of.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to make it to where people can become a part of the story, even if it's for-profit, non-profit, whatever it may be. We're utilizing the heck out of technology. We're looking at augmented reality, AI. I mean, even 3 years ago, I was like, well, what if we could have a hologram pop up on the build site and walk people through how to build these play sets? And even then, they were like, oh, no way, no way. Now I'm like, let's, now? How about now? How about now?
You thought I was crazy then.
But I think through technology, too. Mm-hmm. And we got some really cool technology stuff coming out.
You have to be. This is not the place where I expect you to like dish all your secrets and like that's not what this
we're
is about.
We're just excited about it.
Yeah,
I'll tell you. But I do. I think understanding the difference between growth and scale is very, very, very important. Growth. We did a growth analysis, and it would take Rock Solid like 35 years to be able to hit 16,000. But then, if we put the scale model into it, meaning utilizing technology, creating the rods, we then took it from 35 to 10. And people can grasp, it's easy for people to grasp where you are, but they have to grasp where you're going. And so we're just trying to make sure that we're very crystal clear with people, telling them exactly where we're going, how we're going, and how they can become a part of it.
That was going to be my question. All right, so I know, obviously, but it sounds better coming from you. How can people be a part of it, right? They listen, they do whatever, but, like, what can people do to help further the mission?
People can come to one of the projects. So I believe people give in three ways: time, talent, and treasures. So they can give their time, come out and volunteer. They can give their talents by coming into the warehouse, working, building stuff, websites, legal, that talent side, the professional talents. And then the treasure, no money, no mission. If the best donation I ever got was 83 cents. And so even if it's a dollar, it makes a big impact. Hair ties in the Rock Solid Ready Bags are one of the cheapest things in the bags. But that hair tie allows Mama Bear, like, and my daughter has it, when it's game time, she tightens up that ponytail, and it's game time for these Mama Bears. So I think that $1 to $1 million, if you're listening, we'll take that too. So, but just get involved, be the power of community, because we're transitioning from being experts at building playsets to now we're becoming experts at building community around the pediatric cancer community.
Well, and that's what I think has always been, like, so special about Rock Solid, beyond, like, the already amazing special things, is, you know, I'll tell somebody about it, and they'll be like, oh, they built a playset for, you know, a friend of mine's kid. They're amazing. Or, oh,
they built a playset for my partner, for Emily.
Yeah.
For the Petersons.
Petersons. I think I know the Petersons.
Mm-hmm.
You would know the Petersons.
I've been able to build almost close to 1,000 of these things, but the Petersons definitely.
Emily
Sammy.
And Tim. Mm-hmm.
Sammy Peterson.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So that's your business partner?
Emily. Yep. We own a small business consulting firm.
She writes really good.
She does.
Yeah, she writes really, really good. Mm-hmm. Is she really?
Mm-hmm.
Very cool.
And I grew up with dad, Tim.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. He's a doctor.
He's a doctor.
See, it's all coming back
look
to
look at you.
I know.
That's very impressive because that would have been a solid 6 or 7 years ago.
He ran up the slide like almost like backwards inside. The kid looked, yeah. No wonder he beat cancer. He's got that spirit inside of him.
Yeah.
He's going to change the world.
He is, yeah. Those Peterson, the kids, they have fire.
How many? They have five?
No, there's three.
Three.
Yeah, three. Two boys and a girl. Yeah.
Yeah, they, so, but that's what happens, right? Like one, like you say one thing and you say Rock Solid Foundation to somebody and like, oh, what's that? Mm-hmm. Which is a conversation I had this morning before I came here and then I told them all about it. They're like, that's very cool. How do I get involved in that? And then you meet people like Missy who'd never met you until today. And she's like, no, you guys built a playset for my best friend's son. Like,
yeah, Spiderweb goes pretty far now. That's pretty neat. I used to be the only one that knew who Rock Solid was. We just had an event. Brad Paisley said Rock Solid and he said my name and stuff, which it's like, it's pretty wild, man. Cedric the Entertainer, all those guys. LA Dodgers, Chris Taylor threw a huge event for us. Very, very successful.
That's awesome.
I know I haven't gotten to talk to Ashley about how it went, but I was really excited when she told me all about it.
They kept me in the dark on all that because they did an amazing job. They did great. And just sitting there, like, we had a private watch party at our warehouse. We just kind of remodeled the warehouse. And we had a private watch party and invited some of the families that were featured on the program. And it was pretty neat watching it happen.
That's
just
awesome.
Wild.
So one of the things that that I said before we started is, you know, there's all different ways that you can be part of it. You know, they have, I'm going to say it for you because I know, they have like monthly donation options that are super easy. They have.
Did Ashley tell you to say that?
No.
I'm just kidding.
No, I just know. You don't know this. Ashley knows this. So a few of my employees actually do that.
The Beam?
Mm-hmm.
Really? No kidding, man.
Just because they like get to see so like closely what you guys do. And so like I said, my daughter's going to build a playset. We'll see how that, you know. Well, she's not going to build it. She's going to watch other people build it. But she's going to
build it.
She can spread some mulch.
She can build it. I will personally help her teach her how to use a drill.
Yeah, but then like corporations can sponsor playset builds, and they can sponsor ready bag parties, and they can do all these things.
And their team can donate their time to come help build it as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's the team building exercise piece behind it that we've found that's been very successful.
Yeah,
scratch the itch.
Yeah, and so there's so many ways, and I think you guys have done a really good job of like turning an idea after you didn't want to build any playsets anymore into this awesome thing.
I feel like that's how it happens. Like, I mean, if you knew how it would work out, that would be common sense, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you gotta have a little bit of crazy and faith to just go for it.
Well, and that's been sort of like the common, you know, a common denominator in a lot of people that I talk to, right? Is I had this weird idea, and then we did this thing, and it turned into something better than I could have thought.
I think if you identify the problem, specific problem, like for us, the problem we're solving is kids losing out on play.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how do we fix that problem? Give them a playset.
Yeah.
So it's like problem, solution, go.
Yeah. Well, it's awesome. Thank you so much for coming today. This was perfect.
Was that too long?
No, it's perfect. So my goal... I'm going to say it on here. I don't care. My goal is like under like 45 minutes and we're like right at 38. So look at you being succinct.
I'm trying my best.
That's
great. I am writing my book.
You want to talk about your book? You can talk about your book. You're like, no, I'm good on the book.
No, when she said she was writing a book, I almost said something, but I was like, no, not yet. It comes out in September. Super vulnerable.
I'm really excited about it. I know about it, but I didn't say it until
teaching
you.
Teaching people how to turn their pain into their purpose to start a nonprofit or a business with a mission.
Yeah.
Which is...
I thought you were going to say how to be successful in 4 days.
I have that program coming out.
Well, no. thank you so, so much for spending time in your busy day to come hang with us in a podcast booth and...
If I would have known,
Town Center.
I need to look at my calendar better. No, I'm just thank you for having me. I'm just kidding. I just show up these days.
I know. You're like, whatever. They said I should be there.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you.
Awesome.